Good evening, Abayisa. Tonight is the yotzah of my grandfather, Kusiel Zeh, Ben Oav, Reb Shloime. I was late Zeh, Chetzadik, V'Kodesh, Livroche, Mazel Balabos. I want to tell you something very interesting about my grandfather. You're good. You're right. You're actually right. You lived in Switzerland for the second part of his life. He was born in Vienna, actually. And his father was Rav, and he lived he was married, had a few children. And then when the war broke out, his wife was murdered, his children were murdered. And he got married the second time when he was just under 50 to my grandmother, who also had been married and had children. And famously, she had the Chalitza, which is an interesting case. But I want to speak, one of the very fascinating parts of my grandfather was he was a balabos, he was a working person, he was a soichet, he dealt primarily with shmatas. And he had some good years, some not such good years. But what's very interesting is the last few weeks of his life, I wasn't seeing him anymore at that stage. He was very ill at the end. The last few weeks, last couple of weeks and last couple of days of his life, he was very weakened and very schwach. But the strange thing was that he only spoke Lashon HaKodesh. He was not 100% with it anymore. He had lost quite a lot of his conscious. He slept a lot. But when he woke up, he spoke Lashon HaKodesh. And this is the Balabos, which is really, really interesting. So I don't have a full understanding of this, but they say that when people go through the last stages of their life and they lose, his memory was already by then very affected, and everything, you go back to your mother tongue. That's what they say. So that's what generally people say when you go back to your mother. So his mother tongue, obviously, if you ask me what his mother tongue is, what they've told you was German. And he spoke other languages too, but his mother tongue was brought up in German, Yiddish type of German, but German. And but yet it seems very bizarre and very, very strange that when he lost his sharp consciousness, he started speaking Lashon HaKodesh to whoever went up to him, even the goyim. Anyway, he was in the hospital and he spoke in Lashon HaKodesh, which probably seems to indicate that he was very, very deeply connected to Lashon HaKodesh, probably because of his learning. And he learned every day a lot, and he was very learned. So what it teaches me is that Balabos, he was a Balabos. He was not a Rav, he was not a Dain, he was not a great Marbitz Torah. He never had a yeshiva. He was in yeshiva, but he never had a yeshiva. And yet he felt so connected to Torah Yiddishkeit that his default language at the end of his life was Lashon HaKodesh. I found that very, very special. It was nifta about 25 years ago. Yeah, Pesach Sheni indeed. Yeah, that's my grandfather Zichron Livracha. And I think another thing which I think is that people who went through the war, there's something very unique about the people who go through the camps. It's something very. My grandfather was in Bergen-Belsen. My grandmother was in Auschwitz. My grandfather was in Bergen-Belsen. My grandfather was in the Kassner transport. I think I may have mentioned it once. This transport, which was arranged. The thing about Hungary was that they were invaded in 1944, and yet millions of them were murdered. And 1944, there was like the tail end of the. And Eichmann by then had such a tremendous expertise of how to kill Yidden in masses. He did that in. Why it's Poland and Germany. It took them years to get completely organized. By then, they knew they were losing the war on both sides, on the east and on the west. They were losing the war. But they said, we're going to put all our energy and all our koiches into the annihilation of Yiddishkeit. Unbelievable. And Eichmann said, they were losing the war. They knew it. So there was one person, it was called Mr. Kastner, and he decided he was a Yid. And he wanted to make a deal. It was called Blood for Trucks, it was called. He said he was going to pay money to Eichmann himself because they needed money, they needed lorries, they needed money for the war. He said, we're going to give you money and you give us lives. And he dealt with the devil himself. There's a few books about it, yeah. Yeah, in the Kastner transport. It was very, very controversial and it remained controversial till the very end, because some people felt it was unacceptable to do that. He was killed at the end. Yeah. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he was killed at the end. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So what was your grandfather's? My grandfather was in the Kasnatan spot. He was in the Kasnatan spot, yeah, together with Satan Rebbe.
Your grandmother as well?
No. My grandfather survived Auschwitz. My grandmother survived Auschwitz because she spoke numerous languages. She spoke because she came from a aristocratic home, and therefore she spoke French and German and Yiddish and Hungarian and a bit of Italian. She spoke so many languages, so that saved her life. That literally saved her life.
Well, generally worse off.
Yeah, but she, because she was able, they needed her for translating. You're right. You're 100% right. That's the way to put it. You're 100% right. But the way it was orchestrated...
The language was in Tino.
Yeah, right. The way it was orchestrated was because of her. Yeah. Nachman Muller was on the Kasnatan transport.
His mother was on that train.
Ah, really?
You mean Nachman's mother,
Nachman's grandmother?
His mother.
Mother?
She's a little girl.
She must be now in a... yeah. Wow, I know. Okay. I'd like to learn a bit more. Before we proceed, I want to make an important addition to the final point of yesterday's shir. We mentioned this, it's really one of the key halachas to the halachas of 9 days and Tisha B'Av. We spoke about this concept of washing your face. If there's a bit of dirt on your face, you can wash your face even on Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah Berurah says that the reason for that is because if ain daitum yushevus alav kala, if he feels that the whole day is going to be disturbed by this presence of some dirt, he's going to be ain daitum yushevus. How should we translate that? He's going to be uncomfortable throughout the whole day. How should we say?
Uneasy.
So it's fine. That we learned this is the head of istanis. Istanis is the person. Perhaps a little spoiled, perhaps a little, he needs to, this can be extended, and the post can do extend throughout the halachas of the 9 days. If somebody is really uncomfortable, he may wash himself. That is according to many poskim. The Heter, Shlom Zalman speaks about it. He doesn't like it, but he speaks about it. Why some people have showers in the 9 days is because they cannot operate without it. They cannot cope without that shower, so therefore there may be a heter based on the heter of istanis. Just like this person had to wash his face because otherwise he goes crazy. So similarly, anybody else who feels he can't work normally if he doesn't have a shower, then. So that's what the... Well, now, I want to add to this correct point, what I said yesterday, I want to add an important knaich, which is brought in O 41, which is a quotation of a Mishnah Berurah elsewhere. He says, if you look at O 41, he brings le'inyan mishiroichetz ponovoy enov b'yom kippur aver alechloch. It's talking about yom kippur. Aloch is the same. He says she'olov le'izoyer. He must be careful shlo'lirchot elomokem halechloch belvat. I'm repeating she'olov le'izoyer. He must be careful shlo'lirchot only to wash elo mokoyim the place halechloch of the dirt belvat only. So don't extend more than that. So if you really, so let's say a person who feels he needs a shower because he really feels his head is itchy or other parts of his body are really irritating him. So fine, so you can wash, based on istanis, you're allowed to wash that particular part of the body, but it doesn't mean you may extend it to other parts which don't necessarily bother you so much. It just means, if you can say it in a Loshna Poiskim, it's like truyo, not utro. Just, you know, it doesn't mean that everything is permitted because of that. I think it's an important addition from the Mishnah Berurah himself.
So presumably you want to find a way that doesn't require that.
Of course. Of course. Of course, it's a big b'diavad.
Isn't there the derisa not the washing?
Yeah, it doesn't go into the derisa, yeah. L'chitz, inuimah derisa, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, lemaisu, good point, but you're right in distinguishing, but lemaisu, the poskim say, we the way we approach the inuim on Tisha B'Av is generally speaking, we look at it with the stringency, yeah. We look at the stringency, yeah. But of course, it's a bit of an end. Reb Shlomo Zalman throws in here at one place, says, who allowed you to be an istanis in the first place? Don't be fussy, you know. Who asked you to be so fussy? Don't be fussy and don't have a shower. So that's the Reb Shlomo Zalman said. But lemaisu, in Europe, as you mentioned previously, in the poskim generally were more, a little bit more lenient in it as well. Okay.
Quick question. I was just thinking, isn't that the very point of Tisha B'Av?
Moshe v'Salom. No, so the answer to your question is you have to be in, it doesn't see any way you have to be in agony. You do not need to be in agony. You do not need to be
uncomfortable.
A little bit uncomfortable, yeah. Yeah, you should be a little bit uncomfortable. So this is beyond that. This is that you can't cope. You can't cope. Okay. So fine. Okay, we carry on. See if you'd we spoke about Yud Gimel, we spoke about Yud Dalet, we spoke about Tezvav, and we're up to Sif Tezayin, which is halachas of the new topic, halachas of shoes on Tisha B'Av. Ne'ilas ha-sandal, shoes on Tisha B'Av. Tavke shel oir, the prohibition of wearing shoes on, the problem of shoes on Tisha B'Av is only if it is, what kind of shoes? Leather, shel oir. Aval shel beged, but if it's made out of material, or shel eitz, it's made out of wood. Which shoes are made out of wood?
Clogs, yes.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah, no, it's not Swiss. We did decent things. Yeah. Shall eat or shall sham, which is perish kalp, which is bark of trees.
Cork.
Yeah, very comfortable. Vegemi made out of rubber, very common. Like a lot of slippers are made out of rubber. So that's all mutter. That's permitted. So it's specifically only leather shoes. What if it's made out of wood, but it's got a layer of leather on top? Very common. It's quite common, no? Leather on top and inside. It is another material. Yeah, it doesn't have to be eight. So you've got, let's say, plastic or rubber internally, and then around it there is leather. So the halacha is also, that's going to be also as well. As long as you get comfort, if you get comfort from the leather, that will be the problem. Mechupa means covered. I believe it's referring to, when he's talking about covered, it means melemalo, it means on top.
So what's the comfort then?
I understood that it is like a sand, like a slippers, that it actually will protect you, it's internal, but on top. Does that make sense? It's covering, protecting your foot. I think that it's. I don't think that would be a problem.
Really?
If it's not actually supporting and protecting your foot, I don't think it's a problem. I believe so. Aval ovel u'menuda she'malchim baderech. If you've got an ovel amona u'menuda, somebody's in need, she'malchim baderech, they're walking around. Page top of page 64. Mutorim be'in as a sandal. They are allowed to walk with leather shoes. So you've got a menu, somebody lives out there who was put in cherem. This fellow was placed in cherem. We don't want to see you. Get out of here. Go. Live in Emping Forest. So go to South. South Brixton. Yeah, we don't want to see you. But Sudbury, right? All right, just go there. We don't want to see you. Lamaisa comes to Tisha B'Av, he's schlepping along, walking along from Sudbury, is coming along. So I hope nobody's listening here from Sudbury. No, all right, good news. Okay, so if he's walking all that way, lo and behold, he's allowed to wear the leather shoes. If he's coming from there, there's a reason why he's there. He was kicked out of the community. He was excommunicated. He's allowed to come on Tisha B'Av with regular shoes. But when it comes to Edgewell, to a normal place, then he's allowed to change. Then he puts on the Tisha B'Av shoe. V'chein b'Tisha B'Av, I said regular place. V'chein b'Tisha B'Av, similar Tisha B'Av as well. So the point is that you've got if there's a long distance, which you're allowed to walk in leather shoes until you reach civilization. And once you reach Jewish civilization, then you change into the non-leather shoes. And that is halacha which has been used. I do not know what you think about this. It's quite, I don't know what you think. Similarly, look at that. If you live amongst non-Jews, if you live amongst Gentiles, lo yachloit, do not wear Tisha B'Av shoes, ki'im only b'rechoy v'yehudim, when you reach the Jewish settlement, v'chenu agun, that is the minik. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah says, what's the reason for that? The Mishnah Berurah says, he brings the reason, because in Tzivkot Lamed Dalet, lo yach mishum ha'akum shemaligim oleinu, because the goyim are going to make fun of us. If you walk around with strange shoes, the goyim are going to start on you.
No,
they make fun.
You got with a nice suit and it's so cheap shoes.
But they make fun of us
whatever
we do.
Whilst it is true to say, whilst it's true to say that generally Jews, I mean, it used to be like that. It's perhaps not. I mean, people used to say that, you know, trainers, Jews wear trainers twice a year, once on Teshuvah, once in Yom Kippur. So I think that nowadays it's not so. You know, people are a bit more. I do believe that it's very true that nowadays the argument can be said that what? The nowadays what?
Anyway.
Yeah, so there's two aspects. What you're saying is what the Mishnah Berurah brings later in Sivkot Lamed Vav. He says, come on. What do you cave they love about us? They anyway make fun of us. Come on, it's not those shoes that are going to make it into looking like Gentiles. It's like, I always find it so funny when you didn't wear, you know, it's so common, it's probably the right thing to do. It gives me a bit of a, you know, when you don't wear the hat, you don't wear the black hat, you put instead of that, you put the black hat. And I was like, now you really don't look like it anymore. You know, like that makes all the difference. you can't hide it. It's true, it's less striking perhaps, and it's less thing, but we can't hide it. We do look like Eden, and it's not gonna make a huge difference. But so he says, they anyway make fun of us. So therefore, the Chai Adam and the Mishnah Berurah are not so excited about this heter of changing shoes. Wear leather shoes until you reach the Jewish street. You know, there was the Judengasse until about 200 years ago, the Judengasse in most European cities. There was only one street, it was the ghetto, until 200-300 years ago. It was the Judengasse, the street where the Yidden were allowed to live, and that was within the ghetto. It was called the Judengasse. I believe many European cities still have the Judengasse, although there's no more Yidden living there. Don't know how it was in London. Anybody knows about Jewish history of London? Old Jewry, there you go. That was the street that Yidden were allowed to live. Not beyond that, you had sometimes hundreds and hundreds of families who lived in the Judengasse. Yeah.
Most of the Jews live more to the eastern, but Old Jewry is near the Bank of England, in EC1.
I'm saying in the 12th and 13th century.
That's where they were allowed to live, absolutely. Right, and it took hundreds of years until actually the Yidden were allowed to exit the ghetto in the Judengasse. Famously, Rothschild, the famous Rothschild who became the richest European Yid, he was born and brought up in the Judengasse, and he was there for many, many years. And despite the fact that he was very wealthy, and he was there, his wife, the Mrs. Rothschild, she never left Judengasse, despite the fact that her sons owned palaces and mansions all over Europe. Her five sons, they had this incredible wealth and palaces all over Europe. But she never left the Judengasse. So that was that. So he said, but once you reach Judengasse, you're allowed to. I don't believe nowadays you can apply this heter. That if you live a little bit, I live in Mill Hill, you're allowed to walk with leather shoes until you reach Mowbray Road, and that's when you change into your trainers. I don't believe that would be a correct understanding of this. Why would that be wrong? Lots of Yidden in Mill Hill. Because, of course, nowadays you can walk around with trainers and nobody's going to make fun of you. If they make fun of you, it's not because you're trainers. I'm afraid to tell you, it's not because of trainers. It's because of something else. It's perhaps the tzitzis. So I don't know what it is. Or it's the couple. But it's not going to be the trainers. So therefore, it's hard to apply this. I've seen people, in not mumish, in the slightly more ignorant circles, who did go all the way till shul. I saw this in London. So when he went all the way till shul, and they changed from the leather shoes into the into the into that trainis before entering the large shul. And I believe it was I don't know if it's a misinterpretation, a misunderstanding of this Mishnah Berurah Shulchan Aruch, or it comes from something else. But it certainly it cannot be applied anymore nowadays.
But I'm still not clear, because I mean the whole point is that you should be in comfort.
Of course. Yeah. Good question. You're saying, why in the first place were they allowed to? So I think that there was an element of, it doesn't say the word danger, but I believe that since it's the Rabbanon, so they felt that, you know what, if you're going to allow him, if you're going to ask him to wear the leather shoes, I don't know if danger or it's extreme discomfort, you know, that's where the shoes that existed. There was no trainers. So if you're not going to wear leather shoes, what are you going to wear? It's going to be pretty much like socks. Perhaps support with a bit of wood underneath. And like this, you're okay to walk a couple of meters like that. You know, but if you're going to walk from the other side of town to there, and you're going to wear either with socks, and remember again, streets were not paved. You're talking about going through mud. And if it rained last night, you're going to be walking pretty much with socks through mud. Either or nothing. He talks about wooden shoes or something, but how far can you walk with wooden shoes? Rabbi says, if you trust, yesh mishoy mishalishan. We're moving on to the next topic, which is the next halacha. Yesh mishoy mishalishan beleil tishabav im ishtoy bamit. You may not. Loishan, do not sleep. Beleil tishabav, the night of tishabav, im ishtoy bamit, on the same bed as is to your wife. For nochan adavon, this is the correct approach. Mishum leich leich amrin al nezira. This is what we say: leich leich, go good. Amrin al nezira, to a nazir, to somebody who is a little bit more poor, a little bit more, uplifted, a little bit more nazir, a bit more poor. How do you translate poor? A bit more aloof. He should separate himself, and we say therefore, do not sleep in the same bed. But leich leich amrin al nezira. So it comes from an element of precious and nezirus. This is nochein lizoya. The Mishnah Berurah adds of in sifkat lamed zayin something which Shulchan Aruch does not mention here, but it is a really important halacha. For nochein of ein lekamal simen tovah ish tezov the also diga beishto ikilu inida. You may not touch your wife as if she was an ida. So you, the wife. Just like on Yom Kippur, so there's a halach that she's to be older. The she is like an idol, you may not touch. And probably also on Tishuv, the same halach applies. However, during the day, you may be lenient. That's the difference between Yom Kippur and Tishuv. On Tishuv, he said there's reason to be lenient because women generally walk around without tachshitim and not nicely dressed up. So therefore, there's no less chashash. So therefore, he's makel by day. But on the night, for sure, there's an issa. There's an issa of negia. Okay. So with regards to achokas, generally the minig is to be makel. Some are machme as well, but generally the makel is to be lenient. Seif chof. Ein sheila shalom lechaveru b'tisha b'av. You may not greet your friend on Tisha B'av. Sheila shalom. I forgot if you test something. V'chenoy again in sifkot mem. Humachiz Hashamash. Hashamash proclaims in shul dvorim shebetzina noyeik, which literally means dvorim shebetzina, private matters apply, which is a what rem as a Shamash says, Tvorim Shebetzina Noeik. On the night of Tisha B'Av, he says, don't forget that private matters apply, which obviously is referring to this halacha. Tvorim Shebetzina Noeik. We don't do it here, no, but I've seen places that they do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
In this country?
No, not in this country, no. No. Tvorim Shebetzina, yeah. Tvorim Shebetzina Noeik. It's good, it's a nice way because kids don't really know what's flying, and it's a good way of. Okay, now next halacha is Yesh Mishoim Mishloel. So the halacha in Seif Chaf Aleph says Yesh Mishoim Mishloel. Seif Chaf Ein Shel Shalom Mechaveroi Petisha B'Av. Do not say Shalom to your friend on Tisha B'Av. Good, 1 minute. Good. Ve'Yoytois She'enam Yoytim Ve'Noisim Shalom. The ignorant men who say, "Oh, hello, good morning," and everything. Then they say shalom. Ashivim lohem besofer rafo. You answer them in a abrupt matter. Uvechoy v'droish them with a bit more heavy headed. Like you don't like say yeah very good in you. You like abruptly you shorten this conversation. So now With regards to Shilas Shalom, the Mishnah Berurah says, Nifkot Memalef. What about good morning, good afternoon? So Shalom obviously is worse. Why is Shalom worse? Why is saying Shalom worse? Hashem's name. So what about saying good morning, good afternoon? What about hello? Permitted or not permitted on Tisha B'Av?
What's good about this day?
What's good about this day? You're right. So Mishnah Berurah says, V'uadin lo'im are similar to say tzav for the mari, good morning, which is Aramaic for good morning. Now, I mean, also, you don't say good morning. It's not good morning. You're right. V'uadin lishloach to'eran lechaver b'tishbo, also known to send a present, is also... So Shana Rabbi says, how are you?
Why is it also?
Because it's a day that you mourn, and you don't, it's not a time for small talk. It's just not the right day for small talk. Yeah.
But so then, good morning, you could technically say that's a
bracha,
I'm giving you a bracha, you should have a good morning.
It's not normally meant as that. If you go up to somebody, you say, you should have a good morning. Even that's not so posh, poskim don't like to, mazel tov is also not so, it's not a great thing to say on the, don't start conversation.
Not good morning, don't
greet the morning. What about how are you? Right. Okay, so I'll tell you something interesting. You asked about your spouses, yeah, and your family. So, about how are you? I saw Shlomo Zalman says, and I thought this makes so much sense. I'm going to finish off with that tonight. When it comes to how are you, it depends why you say it. If it's a how are you, which goes together with a hello, and you're not really interested in what the response is going to be, that will be like greeting, and therefore it's going to be also, however, if it's a caring question, you really know how it is, that's going to be permitted. So if you see that you've got your spouse or your child or your parent, that he's not fasting well, and you say, how are you feeling? Yeah, because you care and you want to know what's going on, you know, that is actually fine. That's fine. So if it's part of the hello, how are you, you know, goes together with Baruch Hashem and you're like, you know, it's like, just like, the, it goes together with it. So, that's not permitted. That's just Sheila Shalom. That's part of the greeting, which is also, that's not. But if it's a genuine question about how you are feeling, because you want to, you're going to act upon that response, it's important to know how you feel. That would be fine. Interesting, Baruch Hashem, I think it makes a lot of sense.
There's no mind in saying it another way, because you can always find another way to say these things.
Yeah, but you don't have to, because it's not Shilas Shalom. It's not included in Shilas Shalom. It's not a greeting question.
It might
question.
Be taken that way by the person.
If you, the way you say hello is
hazard. Yeah. That's right. I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. So that's greeting. It's not, you don't really expect an answer. You actually, I answered once and you feel like a clown because it wasn't really a question. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you say, yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing. That's all Tisha B'Av. That's all Tisha B'Av. Yeah. Yeah, that's all Tisha B'Av. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, that's it for this evening. And we'll carry on tomorrow with this.